Hello, and welcome to Connecting You to You Radio, where we tune in to receive the messages of health and well-being that are being broadcast from the soul. I'm your host, Lisa Warner, author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. I show you how to heal your body naturally by combining your body's innate intelligence with the wisdom of your own soul, so that you can break through the mental programming of limiting beliefs that cause disease and make healing your body and changing your life simple. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another Conversations in Consciousness with Lisa and Keith. I am Lisa Warner.
And I am Keith Leon S., award-winning international best-selling author and award-winning filmmaker. And we are so happy you are with us today. If you haven't heard, we did a film called The Inside Effects, How the Body Heals Itself, starring Lisa. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's free. Just go to theinsideeffects.com, put in your name and email address, and you're watching it before you know it. So we are so glad that you are here with us for Conversations in Consciousness. So when we were thinking about guests for this show, and I was making my short list, this young lady who's joining us today was definitely on that list. Her name is Joy Mae Silvers. She's one of the few people in the world I could say that I have known since before she was born, when she was in her mommy's tummy, and knew her right when she was born and had the pleasure of watching her grow and glow until we moved away to the East Coast. And even then, through the beauty of technology, I was able to continue to see Joy sing and grow before my eyes. So Joy, I love you with all my heart. Welcome, Joy Mae Silvers.
Thank you. Thank you for those sweet words. I appreciate them.
Yeah. And so today, when I reached out to Joy, I said, you know, what do you want to talk about? Because I love to ask people, since this is conversations in consciousness, you know, what it is that the guest, or when it's Lisa and I, what we really want to speak to. And so the topic today is the soul fulfillment of doing the things you love and the so-called luck, which I don't think any of the three of us believe in, that comes with being in alignment. And the reason Joy and I met was we were members of, or grew up in, I would say, Joy, because I was growing up in it with you as well, in the spiritual movement of Agape, which is Reverend Michael Beckwith's spiritual center. I don't even call it a church, because church always had a different connotation, a different kind of thing in my mind, and this is not that. This is like the best concert you ever went to, and then somebody gets up in the middle of it and says things that you actually believe from the pulpit, and then the concert starts again. Right? And so the soul fulfillment of doing the things you love and the luck that comes with being in alignment. So Joy, tell us a little bit about yourself, catch up those people who are watching this who don't know you yet, kind of, right, you know, what you do, where you're at, and then we'll move into this beautiful topic.
Well, I'm a singer, songwriter, writer in general. I'm currently in my last semester of college, where I'm getting a creative writing degree, and I'm the editor-in-chief of a really, really fun speculative fiction magazine called Ouroboros. And so that's been my baby in college for the last, a little over a year. And as Keith said, I grew up in Agape. My middle name is Revelation, because I think it's TMI. My parents love to tell everyone that I was conceived during the Revelation conferences. And if Reverend Michael had it his way, Revelation would be my first name. So I'm very glad he didn't have it his way. But yeah, so I've just grown up in this beautiful bubble of spirituality and love and freedom. And I know this is a little off topic, but it was just so interesting to grow up in that environment and then step into a new one, especially at college, where I'm only 55 minutes away from my home. I'm in Orange County, but it was like I went back in time almost. Like realizing that not everyone had grown up in this bubble was kind of like, it was like someone poured a bucket of cold water over my head a little bit. Cause I was like, what do you mean? Like, you never, like, you didn't get this? Because it was just something that I was so used to being surrounded with. So I'm really grateful for that. And also it was quite a shock to like realize that the frequency that I and the people around me vibrated in wasn't really the norm of the frequency of like the general people I was surrounded by once I moved. So it was really interesting to see.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's just like all unconditional love all the time. And then all of a sudden you're being judged and what? Wait a minute. Wow. It must be shocking.
Yeah. It was very shocking.
Yeah. There's a lot of really shocking things happening out in the world. And for those of us who are spiritual, who are sensitive souls, who see a bigger picture, it's like, wow. It's really hard to swallow sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about what you're thinking of when you came up with this topic, the soul fulfillment of doing the things you love and the luck that comes with being in alignment.
Sure. Well, so one of the questions you asked me was like, what's something I'm really passionate about talking about in regards to spirituality? And one of the things that I believe I expressed to you was that because I grew up in this environment where it was just seeped into my being, it's not that I'm like passionate about talking about anything, because it just feels so integral to who I am. And so I was thinking back to like where faith kind of lights up my life. And so the two places that came to me were doing what I love, because there's no other time I feel in such like harmonic frequency than when I am singing or when I'm writing or even when I'm acting, which I haven't done in a while, but I still love to do that. And then the other area was luck. Because my friends will tell you, I seem to be one of the luckiest people ever. If I missed a test in school because I was absent and didn't want to take it, this is a true story. I was pre-calc, I missed a test. I was like, oh God, I really don't want to take it. Maybe I just won't, which I obviously would have, like, there's no, yeah, anyways. But I was like, maybe I won't take it. And then she comes to class and she says, so someone broke into my car and they stole my computer bag that had all of the tests from last class. So I'm just going to take that out of the grade book and we're not going to retake them. So a test I didn't want to take because I had missed it got just completely erased out of the books because someone stole her bag. Like, I'm sorry for her bag, but also like, that's just the kind of thing that happened to me. Or I remember giving the sermon for Youth Service Sunday and I talked about guns. That was one thing I talked about because I think we say a lot of thoughts and prayers are wonderful to shift vibration, but if we're not backing that up with action, it doesn't do enough. And that's something that being in college too is still a thing that I'm scared about. But different topic. But I talked about guns and I talked about saying yes. And I'm sure I talked about a couple other things. It's been like 5 years at this point, which is crazy to say. But on the saying yes topic, I made a commitment in front of the congregation that I was going to say yes more. And the very next day, I woke up to a text saying, do you want to go to Ireland, Northern Ireland, in 24 hours, all expenses paid, you just have to have a passport? And I said yes, because who wouldn't, you know?
Right? Yeah.
Like those types of things just flow when you're opening yourself up to it. And there's a limit, obviously. I had to learn that in saying yes so much, I wasn't necessarily prioritizing my well-being. And it got to this kind of guilty point of, well, all these good things keep coming to me, so I should say yes, I should say yes, because I should be grateful. But then I'm sick 3 weeks out of a month, or I'm exhausted and I feel like a walking zombie. And so where's the limit? So that's something that was an interesting thing that I didn't really expect when I made the commitment to say yes. But it's just, there's something really beautiful that happens in the universe when you open yourself up to the good that it has in store for you. Because there's all this good, you know, you just have to be open to it, because if your eyes are closed, you're never going to see it.
Exactly. You know, so many of us are, you know, so traumatized and wounded that we just automatically say no, just because we want to try to protect ourselves. We're not certain, you know, if we don't know the person, or, you know, we've never done something before. It's like, we don't want to make a mistake, or we don't want to look stupid, or, you know, we don't want to get, you know, swindled, or, you know, it's like, it just becomes like this automatic, yeah, no, that's okay, thanks. You know, so I love that concept of being able to say yes to and to have that discernment. It's yeah. Like, we don't have to say yes to every single thing that comes down the line.
There was a movie made about that where a guy said yes literally to everything.
My dad loves that movie.
Oh my God, so funny. And that whole movie, and even this topic, reminds me of when I, you know, I did everything that I could to make this relationship with Jack Canfield, where he would be my dear friend and personal mentor, happen after reading Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And it's like, by the time we had connected and we're talking heart to heart, and he told me, there comes a point where you have to start saying no. And of course, I would be your mentor, because I always say yes to everything. So now I'm talking to myself as well. So let's together practice the season of no. And we both kind of did that together. But it was like, I made that happen. Like, I created that. I wished it. Like, I wished when I read Chicken Soup for the Soul and turned it over and I saw Mark Victor Hansen and I saw I saw Jack Canfield, and I looked at Mark and I was like, yeah, that guy's a sales guy. And there's a guy I would really love to know and have. I can tell he has such a big heart. And I was looking at Jack. I ended up knowing Mark because of Agape. He was a member there, and he saw me sing all the time. And I like to say that Mark Victor Hansen was my third biggest fan of my singing. It was my mother and my wife, and then Mark, because anytime I walked by at any event I was at or anything, Mark would go, "Have you heard him sing?" And then whoever was standing there, if it was no, he was like, "You have to come here. You have to go there. You go there. This is how you do it." Right? It was like a mission of his. So, but did that help me meet Jack? No. I was like, I really want to meet Jack. He was like, that's all I ever got. And but I did make it so that I got myself signed to sing at an event that happened in Irvine, California, early morning, once a month, all business people. And they had like really high-end guest speakers, and they would have a warm-up singer. So I got myself booked to open up for Jack at that. Then I reached out to the same gatekeeper who had shut me down so many times and said, "Hey, I'm opening up for Jack at this event. I'd love to know which songs he'd like. Here are some of my songs." And next thing I know, we're on the phone. And so that was booked. And then he said, "I have an event coming up where I'm teaching. It's like a 5-day event. I'd love to have you come as my guest." And so I got to go hang out with him before that thing that I had booked. And then I was there, and then Mark Victor Hansen came fresh back from a trip to Hawaii, I think it was. And then he looked down and saw me in the front row and said, "Have you heard him sing?" And Jack said, "Not yet. I mean, I will." And he's like, "No, promise me you'll have him sing at this event." And Jack said, "Okay." And then Mark looked at me and winked. And so I sang at the event. I did a bunch of things with Jack. And then by the time we got to the event that I had originally booked, we were already friends. And so people would say, you're so lucky. Am I though? Or did I make that happen? Right? Proactively. And I get that a lot in my life, people saying that I'm lucky. And it's like, I can show you the reverse action plan that started with my big dream and worked back to my next baby step and all the steps that I took in between. So that's what comes up for me when you said that topic. And I had to wear this shirt, of course, as a shout out to Agape. But there's a song that you wrote with your dad. And what's it called again?
Which one?
You're playing at the piano and singing.
Falling Free?
Oh, yeah. That one. Is there a link or something that we can put in?
Yeah, I have it on my Instagram, and I believe I also have it on YouTube, so I can absolutely get those links to you.
Cool. So we'll put that in the description after the fact, but when folks are watching this, they'll be able to click off. But that was, I just remember the first time hearing that and crying, and the second time hearing that and crying, and the third time, I'm just like, every time you sing that, it's just so beautiful, because everything is energy, and I don't know what it is, but it feels like every time you sing that, you're back to the energy that the two of you wrote it with.
Yeah. That was a song that I wrote, and is another thing that pops up in my mind when I think of like the way spirit fills you when you're doing what you love. I didn't love high school. I felt like I got up, I ate breakfast if I could. I'm not a breakfast person. I went to school. I was in rehearsal till sometimes 8 p.m., not often, more like 6, but it was like a big chunk of my day. School started at, I think, 7:56 in the morning. So from like 7:56 to 6 p.m. or 4:20 or 8 p.m., I was in school. And then I got home, I did homework, I ate dinner, and then I went to sleep, and I woke up again. And even though I was doing the arts, I was in a music magnet, so I got to do choir and I got to do theater. I got to do musical theater. It didn't feel fulfilling. I remember like one time coming home and just sitting on the steps of my old house and crying, because I just felt like I was stuck. I was doing the same thing. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel authentic either. Especially growing up in LA. It's a really interesting dynamic with the kids there, because it never really feels like you're present. Everyone is fighting for the future of who they'll be. They want to be famous, or it's just like a really weird dynamic to grow up in. So not everyone around me was kind. And so it was like, I don't think I really sacrificed my kindness. I was the person who would like go and tell, it was so mean. I'm rambling, but we would go to like IHOP after our performances, and my group of friends went up to one kid who I thought was so sweet, but for some reason they had a problem with, and they told him, we're going to Denny's after this instead. And he was so excited to be invited, and so I had to sneak while they weren't looking and tell him, hey, I'm so sorry, I don't know why they said that, we're going to IHOP, you're still welcome to come. You know, like that was the kind of people I was around. So I just, it was like soul sucking, to be honest. And so I was at the piano and I told my dad, I have this melody, but I can't like write a full song. And so he was like, play what you have. And so I think I might have had, it was so long ago at this point. I don't know if I had the chorus or if I had maybe the bridge, or I had something. And he was like, well, you have this, but you don't actually have the melody. So let's sit down and get a melody. And we sat there, and like within an hour, we had just written this song. It was so cohesive. There wasn't, you write this, I write that. It was, wait, what if we did this? What if you did that? This sounds beautiful. Try this. And by the end, I was shaking. I was like, literally, because I could feel the spirit, the energy moving through me. And my dad was too. And we listened back to the recording, and I think I might've cried. And I was like, this is not just us. Like, this is more than us. It's because you're right, it really captured that like raw energy of like being afraid to break out of where I was, being afraid to follow my dreams out of fear that I would fail, but also knowing that there's something greater that's going to lift me up and guide me through it,
yeah,
even through that fear. And that went on to win me one of the performers of the years, which was like a little scholarship. So I got to like perform in front of judges, and then I won, and then there was like a gala at the end of the year that I got to perform it for, which was nerve-wracking but really fun. So yeah, that's definitely something that like comes to mind of like spirit writing something for you.
And it carries such a high vibration. So so Lisa, if you don't know, like Agape, it is Hollywood, right? It really is. So like every time that you sing, the lights are down. There's just a spot on you. And then you have 1,500 of your closest friends just holding for you to do well. And it's palatable, right? And then you take something with such a high vibration, like they wrote together, and songs that I wrote as well, so I'm speaking about myself, it's so easy for that original vibration to take over you, so that each time that you sing it, like Reverend Michael used to say, hey, you probably noticed none of our people are performing,
mm-hmm,
right? That's a different energy. They're letting the spirit, whatever you want to call it, the energy flow through them, and it's palatable, right? And so that's why I'm saying, like, every time you sing it, I was just like, oh, you know, because you just feel it right, uh-huh, in the heart, and it's so beautiful. And to see, like, you're, how old were you, 12 or something?
When I wrote that,
yeah,
I wrote that at 17.
17, okay,
yeah,
wow, it's amazing.
And it really is, when we are in harmony and we're in alignment, it's really co-creation, you know, allowing the spirit of creator itself to flow through. God source life is flowing through us, with us, and it's just so much more than we could do all by ourselves. And, you know, this is part of what, you know, I think is so lacking in society. We're all taught to, you gotta climb your way to the corporate ladder, you know, and it's just like, do this and do that, and you gotta do all these things, and we forget that it's about being, opening up our heart and our soul, and allowing life to flow through us, with us, helping us. You know, we're not meant to be here alone. We're not meant to be here in competition and trying to climb the way to the corporate top, you know.
Yeah, that really resonates with me as well, because the like job market is dismal, and the like odds of owning a house are so, again, dismal. And so like people my age who are just entering into their adulthood, it's easy to feel helpless and lost, and like, why should I try for anything if it's never going to reap any rewards? And I think that's a time where it's really important, if you have a faith, to come back to it and know, again, when you're in alignment, luck follows. You know, I remember Spirit Awakening is a wonderful, wonderful foundation started by Akuyo Graham, who attends Agape. And my mom brought me to one of their galas. They do a Voices of the Unheard gala, where they perform work written by incarcerated youth, so that we can be their voices. And I was 14. I'd never really had any hardship besides my grandparents dying. You know, that was what I had experienced thus far. And so I didn't really know what the importance of Spirit Awakening was, or the Voices of the Unheard gala. And my mom was like, just go, I think you'll like it. And so I went, and I remember there's a part at the end where you say a name, and then you say their age and how long they have in the system. So it would be like Cynthia, 14, 30 years to life. And I was like, these are people my age. And they're stuck in the system for life. And so ever since that time of being 14, I volunteered with them. I became an angel mentor. So not quite a mentor, but a youth who was there and had the vibration of agape. And I say this because I just got hired as their outreach coordinator. So 14 to 23, and now I'm working for them. And it's this beautiful community. And it's not something that I necessarily would have imagined when I was 14, you know, but I stayed in that alignment and I stayed in that space and that unconditional love that I feel Spirit Awakening continues on from agape. And now, instead of being afraid of a future that feels not clear, I have this continuance of faith, you know, that's brought me to this path. And so I just think, again, it's like, go where you feel fulfilled, go where you feel heard, and where you feel authentic. Because when you're in those spaces, I don't want to say you can't do wrong, but 9 times out of 10, you can't, you know, like, you're, as long as you're operating from a place of integrity, authenticity, love, like, things will follow from that space.
And truth be told, that the things that you want to do in this life, there's more opportunity where you are than most places in the United States. So it'd be New York, LA, and now Atlanta is like the new Hollywood, right? So those are the three places for you. So where it appears, maybe if we're talking about a 9-to-5, something you'd be miserable in, there's not a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah,
but,
no.
But the things that you want to do, there's more opportunity than ever. So as you continue to have faith and align yourself in projects that you would love to do, whether you got paid or not, right? Because you just love them, then, you know, the money will follow you as you follow your passion. So I see nothing but great things and continued luck for you. And yeah, it would be great to not get caught up in the story of the people that are looking for the 9-to-5 job that's going to get them high blood pressure and heart attack by the time they're 50. That's not where you're headed, right? And yeah, so if I could just offer you a mentor minute, I see so much ahead of you and available to you, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really had I had a very opposite experience growing up. I grew up in a really small town, and but it was an international town because we hosted the Winter Olympics twice here. And so this town of 2,500 people hosted the world in 1980. But really, there's not a lot of economic opportunity. There's not a lot of diversity. And there's a lot of poverty consciousness here, just like deeply, deeply rooted poverty consciousness. And, you know, growing up, you know, they always ask, you know, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I don't know. I'm 8. Like, you know, I looked out and, you know, looking around me, I looked at what all the people did. You know, most people just did, you know, they had their 9-to-5 job and they worked Monday through Friday and they had their weekends off and maybe a week's vacation in the year or something. And I just thought, wow, like, this does not sing to my soul in any way, shape, or form. And like, I always felt so different than everybody else around me because I knew that school was where we went and got programmed, but I didn't have anywhere else. Like, I didn't have any recourse. Like, I had to go into the programming. And it was like that whole thing just was so soul sucking to me that I couldn't figure out what it was that I was supposed to do, or, you know, why I was here. Like, there was just no guidance. Like, there was nothing else. Like, I was supposed to, you know, find a career and get married and just be happy. And like, by the time I was 12, I was like, that I'm not getting married and having kids in this, like, I don't want to bring kids up in this crazy world. Like, that's not happening for me this lifetime. So it's really heartening to know that there are many young people out there today that are in a beautiful situation, that they are able to, like you, that you are now able to find your passion and start living your passion and, you know, be an example for everyone that you can live a passion. It took me over 50 years and a bout of cancer to get it all figured out, you know, because that is what happens when we're not living in alignment. You know, our bodies let us know. Kudos to you.
Yeah, and I've always adored your family so much. Just love each and every one of you, and they remind me of, like, my son Timar and me and Mara. You know, like, the way that he was raised was just different. So he just thinks differently. He's wired differently. Like, there were times when they were selling a recession in the media and going at it hard, right, trying to get everybody in that fear. And then Timar went out, and next thing you know, he had like three jobs. He just went out and got them, and everyone's like, "You're so lucky, you have three jobs." And he's like, "Yeah, did your parents ever tell you that you can't do something, or your parents ever tell you?" Yeah, my dad never told me that. He said, "There's always opportunities available to you. You just got to get out and knock the doors. And if you have to offer to work for free, I mean, do it, because they're gonna be there for a little while, and then it's gonna be out of balance. Now they're gonna feel like you're doing such a great job, and they owe you, but then they'll have to hire you, and a lot of times with back pay, you know." So these were the things he grew up with. So he finds himself with three jobs, be it they were part time, because that's what people were offering, but he was like full time and more working during a so-called recession, right? He's just like, yeah, my dad never told me those things.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah, I think my dad is slightly understated in his faith in the same way I am, I would say, because it's just integral to him. But places of hardship in my life have really been where my mom's a minister, she's freaking awesome, you know? So she's got the faith down. Not that my dad doesn't, but she's like very vocal about it. Right. Amazing, amazing prayer stress. I don't know what the right word is. She spouts prayer, like spirit is speaking through her, because obviously spirit is. But my dad his spirituality is through music, I would say. But it's really been those moments of, like, I didn't know how I was going to pay for college, you know? And I was like, I felt like I wasn't going to go at that point, you know? Like, I just had no clue. And my dad was like, "You just have to have faith." And I was like, "Dad, I have no money. What's faith going to help?" You know, like, I was just like, what, why are you saying this right now? It's not helping me. And then, just like he said, it just all fell into place, you know? And I had, like, a crazy scholarship and so much support from family that's allowed me to go to a private university and take a gap year and fulfill my dreams, you know? And so it's just that, like, have your parents ever told you couldn't do something? Like, no, my parents have always, they've always trusted in a higher power. And more than that, they've trusted in my ability to tap into a higher power, because you can't just believe in the universe and spirit and say, well, they're going to do all the work for me, because that's not how it works. You know, you have to be having a spiritual practice. I can't sit down to meditate. My attention span does not let me, you know, but I can get into a meditative space if I'm feeling really, really stressed and angry and, like, jittery. I dance. I put on music and I dance, and I literally look like I'm spazzing out, you know? Because I'm not dancing to be seen. I'm dancing to connect. I'm dancing to the sound to go, you know, like that's what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I don't know, just it's a beautiful thing. And I do feel privileged. What you were saying, Lisa, like, I feel so privileged to be someone so young who has this upbringing and this awareness. I think it's something like, I love therapy. I think everyone should go, but that's something I've always been told. It's like, wow, you're so young and you're so aware. And I'm like, I know, you know, because I was raised in I was raised around a lot of adults. First of all, I was in the children's choir at Agape, but I didn't get into any of the teen programs until I think I was 13. So I wasn't really around the children other than the choir children. And I'm an only child. So, you know, I grew up around a lot of adults and I was lucky enough to have people who didn't talk down to me. You know, one thing Reverend Michael has said is like, spirit doesn't know age. There isn't too young or too old. You know, you either are connected or you're not. And so that's why it's so important to like, to be active in your spirituality and be active in your own future. Because sure, some things happen to us, but we have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. Mm.
Have you seen the, when a baby is born in Agape and you've seen the blessing that happens? Mm-hmm. Well, that happened for you. So, and I was there, right? And so one of the things that Reverend Michael says when he does a blessing for a child is that they say that it takes a village to raise a child, right? Mm-hmm. But we look at it the opposite also. It takes a child to raise a village. And we made promises that day, mm-hmm. that we would be there for you, that we would treat you like our own. You know, that's why I still like, we haven't got to spend much time together, and I still say Uncle Keith, like I claim that thing, like I've done anything to own it or to earn it. But I made promises that day, and I did look out for you, and I did, you know, as you're growing up, whether you realized or knew it or not, and you growing up in that faith, were teaching us, and that's why when you wrote that song and poured that through, and you know that song taught us, and when you did all the things that you do, when you got up in the pulpit on the, you know, kids Sunday or whatever, and any time that you spoke and prayed and let your heart pour through, I can speak for myself, but I'm gonna think that everyone else was just like, right, and felt part of that journey, and just so much love for you. And to have a community of people like that, because I was in the music ministry, right, and a soloist and a choir member, and I used to lead the congregation when Ricky wasn't there, right? I got to experience what you did as well. So love from thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to let that in, I don't only feel that when I'm there. Yeah. Like when I moved away, I took that with me, right? I'm proud to say Agape practitioner, proud to say, you know, was soloist, all these things to say. And it opened a lot of doors. It really did. Especially in spiritual centers when I still wanted to sing and speak at those. They're like, Agape, come, you know. But more than that, it was the unconditional love of the community that I took with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's funny, like my friends will be like, how many aunts and uncles and godparents do you have? And I'm like, oh no, we're not actually related. It's like, it's, you know, you wouldn't get it. Or like, my boyfriend is from a small town. He's from Snoqualmie, Washington. And so he moved out to LA because we met through college, and we actually met at a bookstore, but that's another story. But him walking around with me in LA, and like everywhere I go, there's someone from Agape. And he's like, how do you know these many people? Like, this is crazy. And it's just because like we're everywhere, you know. One of my favorite things, it's so funny, when I was in high school, some of my friends said I was in a cult.
Wow, that's hilarious.
They didn't understand. They're like, yeah. Everyone hugs, they love each other, like you go every Sunday, sometimes Wednesdays when we had our old place, like, yeah. This can't be real, like you want to go. And it has to be a cult. Like, you have to be stuck there. And I was like, no, my parents, I think, I don't remember my exact age. I was probably around like 8 or 11 or something. My parents gave me the choice not to go. And I think for a straight year, I didn't, you know? And like, that's what raising someone authentically and raising someone in faith is. Like, I wasn't ever forced. You know, of course, there were times when my mom was like, oh, I don't want to go alone. Will you please come? And I was like, I want to sleep in, but fine. You know, but that's not like, go or I'll take your iPad away or something like
right.
that.
Right.
You know? Yes. It wasn't ever forced faith. I was really allowed to explore it. And I think that really shaped who I was. Like, that getting that freedom and that trust at such a young age to like know what was right for me. Like something my mom has told me forever, check in with your body. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Or even growing up as a little child with a huge afro in the halls, running around and people would grab my hair or they touch my body. And my mom would say, did you ask her? Did she say that was okay? Mm-hmm. And that was just something that like, even with all the beauty and love at Agape, it's like when you get up on stage, I'm sure you've experienced this. When you get up and you sing and you give so much, people want a part of you when you get off.
Yeah.
I've had people come up and start crying immediately and giving me their entire life story. And of course I'm receptive and I want to support and, but it's overwhelming, you yeah. know, especially when there's no consent given to be that person yeah. for someone else. And so that was another thing I learned growing up that I'm sure is unique to someone who was kind of, I joined the choir at 3 and a half. So I was always kind of
yep.
on stage. And there are people who, like my mom and I went to a really cool event. There's this film coming out called Common Ground, and it's about regenerative agriculture and how that can reverse global warming, not reverse it, but like save the world in that sense. Yeah. Yeah. And there was someone who grabbed me at the event. I was like, I know you. And I was like, you do? And she's like, yeah, from Agape. And I was like, oh, hi. Had I ever seen her before? No. But like, because I grew up in that space, there's so many people who know right. me. And that energy is felt. But it's also been like a lesson in like protecting myself. Again, my mom would say, put white light around yourself. Surround yourself in a bubble of gold. She would do it everywhere. If an ambulance went by, she would bless the ambulance and tell me to put white light on. If we were going into Whole Foods, put white light, you know? But I feel like I just was like constantly getting these messages of like, advocate for yourself and protect your peace and be that light and don't dim because others are upset with you or feel jealous because things happen to you. Like that's another thing I encountered is like people genuinely angry at me or in competition with me because I seemingly didn't have to do anything, you know? And that was a rough space to be in, especially when you're young and want to make friends and also want to be yourself. But like having my mom and having my dad tell me like, it's not your responsibility to glow any lighter. I mean, any smaller or darker just because they're intimidated or just because they feel like there isn't enough room for two lights.
Yes. Right.
So I don't know why I got on that topic. But...
Jealous. Yeah. Well, that all that energy can be pretty intense, you know, mm-hmm. As a performer there, like I was blessed enough that I had Ricky and Carl Anderson was really the one that he started working with me because I don't know if you remember Carl, but the first time I met him was at Agape when I very first went there at the building back on Olympic way,
mm-hmm.
way back in the day. And and he sang, and then after service he looked over and it was like he saw a ghost and he was like, stay there. And I was like, okay. So he dealt with all the people around him, right? And then he said, mm-hmm. finally at one point, excuse me, and he came over and he was like, oh my god. And I was like, what? He said, you are the twin spitting image of my mentor who taught me everything that I know. What do you do? And I said, I'm a singer musician. He's like, of course you are. He said, I'm supposed to work with you and give you everything that he gave me.
That's cute.
And so one of the things he saw me one time, another thing I would do besides just try, like, feel like this, which you spoke to, right? Everybody just pouring, was deflecting. Like, if I felt like I had a hiccup that day and someone would say, oh my God, you're amazing. And I'd be like, yeah, but didn't you hear the thing that I did? Right? Because I just, it was like to take in all that love from so many people was so intense. What can I do to try to bat a little bit of this away, maybe? Mm-hmm. And then Carl just told me one day, he said, don't ever do that again. And I was like, what? And he said, when you deflect, it's like you took a Christmas present that, or a birthday present that they just gave you and threw it on the ground and smashed it to pieces in front of them. Uh-huh. Right? So the only acceptable answer from this point on, young man, should you accept this, is thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I was like, okay. So after that, I was just like, oh, thank you. And and I even took that a step further, and this may come in handy for you, is as a speaker, when I went out to speaking in the world, some pretty large stages, right? I didn't, and especially at churches, I didn't always say everything that everybody would love. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people would come up with a little bit of venom and say, hey, I didn't appreciate that you brought your politics into this, blah, blah. And I was like, mm-hmm. in my head, I'm going, I didn't say anything about politics, but they took it. Okay. So my only answer is, thank you for caring enough to share that with me. Mm-hmm. And then that shuts down the, right? They're just like, oh, you're welcome. And then I can think about it later. Like, what did she mean by that? Oh, that was probably when, I said CNN, and then I said constantly negative news, and then half of the room laughed. Well, the other half didn't laugh. So how many other people didn't dig that and didn't come up and have the guts to tell me? Maybe I'll just lose that. From the repertoire, right? I thought it was funny, but if it's pissing people off, why would I do that on purpose, right? So there was so many incredible blessings that I learned in that space and in that place that served me to this day, right? I'm about to turn 60 in August, and I still have all of those lessons with me, and they pour into everything that I do. Poured into the film, they poured into why I'm here with Lisa, like why I met her and attracted her into my life, is things that I learned at Agape. I should write a book called Things That I Learned.
You should. You absolutely should.
Yeah. I wrote one called Walking with My Angels, a true story. That's a good one. But yeah.
Yeah. You know, we can all learn from each other, and you know, the more we share, whether it's in music or stories, books that we write, you know, there are always ways to help other people just simply by sharing our stories, being the light that we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Joy May, you're making a profound difference in the lives of so many. And, you know, people assume that you already know that, so they forget to tell you. So I'll tell you for them, right? Just by being the you that you are, and how you be, you'll actually understand what I'm talking about when I say that. How you be in the world makes a difference, you know, every day, and certainly has made a difference in mine, even though we haven't had, you know, enough in my time together before we moved away, but I love you and your family with all my heart, and mm-hmm. and I feel like I've been given probably more, at least as much by all of you than I've provided.
That's so sweet. We love you too.
Yeah.
I can see that the future of humanity is actually very, very bright, with so many young people that are really starting to realize that it's really important to be in alignment. It's important to live from our hearts. You know, the programming of the world, you know, is just to follow the rules, do what you're told. And you know, our society is so traumatized that people can't really even function anymore. So to have you out there talking about this and being that light and just demonstrating, you know, this is what happens when you live in alignment, when you are listening to your body. What does your body say? Does this feel like it's in alignment or not? Even if children were taught just that one piece of information to listen to their bodies, because the body never lies. It can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's also we're at a beautiful point in humanity where it feels like kind of rock bottom in some degree, with everything that's going on. And so it's a place to rebuild and not necessarily rebuild with the same practices that we've had thus far, because the way society is structured, it isn't inclusive to everyone, and it never has been, because of the foundation that we were created and raised upon. It's not inclusive to a number of people in our society. And so, especially with the age of Aquarius, like shifting into Aquarius and like having all these like wonderful, beautiful awakenings. Cause when you're at a place where you are feeling like you're stuck, or you're feeling like you can't function, it just opens up this space for you where it's like, well, if I can't function here, where can I? And like, if there's no point in this, then what is there a point in? I think my freshman year of college, I started my novel that I'm currently hoping to finish by graduation. Hoping is the key word. But in writing it, I remember something came through of nothing matters, therefore everything matters. Because, and I don't truly believe that nothing matters, but if you come from a place of, like, I can do anything, nothing matters, therefore everything matters, then it's just this, like, this beautiful space of like, kind of soaring and flying. It's like, well, if there is no job market for me, how can I choose to make something different? I just bought a beautiful locket from somebody who I'm sure didn't think this was going to be her path. She makes the most gorgeous fairy lockets. Oh. And yeah, and she's so popular that she has to do drops of the lockets. And I just so happened to open my email a couple days before my birthday in January and see that it was opening. And I was like, I need to get a locket for my birthday. And in like 3 minutes, a third of everything was sold out. Like, that's her calling. She leaned into what made her happy and what made other like-minded individuals happy. And now I would assume she's making a living profit, a livable profit off of making fairy lockets, you know? And so it's like, would someone tell her that's practical if she just came up with the idea and was like, I want to make lockets for a living? No, but she went where she felt called, and now she's wildly successful with it. So just to reiterate, like, it's a great space we're in, where when there seems like there aren't opportunities, or where it seems like the way things have been going, like, you can't get a job and work until 60 and retire with like a yard anymore. Like, that's not really the way things are going right now. So where do we want to shift things? Where do we want to break down and build anew? Like, we get that opportunity, even, and not just people my age, everyone who's in this age of unfoldment gets to pick up a hammer, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And so it's simultaneously kind of hopeless and also incredible,
right,
in what can come through.
And that's why I think this the shift will happen, and that it will be your generation that changes it, right? Because you were all born like knowing everything that it took us a whole lifetime to know, right? Just born knowing that. And then got accused of being, you know, like off somewhere else in school. No, bored, because I already know, I knew everything you were trying to teach me when I was three. So I'm bored out of my mind. Challenge me and maybe I'll be able to stay with you, you know? And so, and then it's like, yeah, well, but I'll stick in the system anyway. And then now I get out there and there's no jobs for me. What can I create is the only question then. What can I create? What will I create? Some will fold and give up and do whatever they do, but a good number, right, will say, what can I create? And that's this world, the way that it will be instead of the way that it has been, like you said, is what I feel it ultimately comes out of it, right? And I want to be a part of that. And I'm glad that you reminded me that you love acting as well, because part, like, I did the book thing and, you know, author and then publisher. We're published well over 100 books. We're established 20 years in publishing. And then what it was like, I always had a dream, right? 20s and 30s rock star music, did that at Agape. 40s best-selling author, speaker, ended up being publisher went so well that I forgot that 50s was filmmaker, right? So then I was like, oh crap, I need to make a film. And so I made The Inside Effects, and then it was like, what should I make it about? And I ended up getting to put Lisa and friends of mine in it and talk about the body's ability to heal itself. But that was only so that I could get back into the game, right? Because in 99 and the 5.5 years before that I was in TV and production and editing and all the things that I did, everything was analog, and now everything's digital. It's completely different. 4K HD, you know, it's completely different, right? So I did the documentary film to not only help the world, but to learn the new language so that then I can now get into making films that make a difference, where I've been publishing books that make a difference for 20 years. Now it's films that make a difference. So I'm glad that you reminded me, because I am ultimately going to be, you know, I'm sure I'll have to do a couple films along the way, but ultimately going to be doing Walking with My Angels, a trilogy, and do it, you know, it's kind of like, it's going to be kind of like Twilight, only angels instead of vampires. So good to know, because there will be a part for you when that comes. For love sure it. and maybe the other ones along the way, wherever I can include you. Glad you said that.
And I think that's also really important, that you're doing things that make a difference. It's like, what can I create and how can I contribute? Like, because if we create things that are contributive to people, can't really fail.
Yeah. And that's kind of like when, if you're ever feeling down, you're having a down day and you're just out of sorts, to reach out to someone else that you know might be feeling that way as well and offer your support to them. And it's like, you know, Mara and I were coaches for years, and it just seemed like if we had like one of those days, coaching and supporting someone else was just like the ultimate pick me up to put us right back, right back into place. So, so that might be an interesting thing, you know, all that you've learned. I would say, I would definitely say life mentor might be a great path. I don't say coach, because when I was a coach, people didn't keep their promises, and they even though they paid me, right, and they would make excuses for why they didn't keep their agreements and all that stuff. But when I changed it to mentor, when you get mentored by somebody, you do what they tell you before the next time you see them, or you know you're done, right? So there's something about that word that shifted everything. Yeah, so just food for thought as you write and do all the other things that you love. Maybe share your wisdom with others, because you only ever have to be a little bit further than the person that you're mentoring, right?
Yeah.
And you'll keep growing as they're growing too, so it'll always be ahead, if there is such a thing. But Just tossing that out there. Opportunity, money, opportunity thoughts by Keith Leonis.
Oh, fantastic. This is definitely the time for all of humanity to start coming together, working together, helping each other up the ladder. Instead of trying to climb over each other, let's all just give each other a hand and do whatever we can to contribute and help, and just to start making this world a more beautiful place, a more peaceful place, a happier place, because we can. We are creators. We are grand beings of light, and we have the ability to create heaven on earth just as much as we have created whatever else we've created.
Yes. And Dwayne, what do you want to leave everybody with today?
Let's just lean into where you feel good. Lean into that place that makes you, like, you know when you get that little lump in your throat because you feel like you might cry, but it's not a bad cry. It's like a, like, oh, I'm so happy I might cry. Like, lean into that. Find those places. And also lean into the places where you don't feel that, because it's just as important, and just as it's just as much knowledge for you to know the places that aren't in alignment as the ones that are. Because if you feel like you're in a place where, well, nothing brings me that little lump in my throat, so lean into that. Look at why. Where are the places where you really, really, really feel wrong? And how can you take one step forward towards feeling a little bit more in harmony? And find a community. I think that's another thing that's really big, because I wouldn't be here without a community. And I know, I think you can attest to that as well. You, community is so important. And so, yeah. Lean into alignment, lean into where you're unaligned, find a community of like-minded people who can help you on that path, because you're not alone.
Sage wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for
having me. Conversations in Consciousness. And we will put the link to the beautiful song that I was talking about, and share that link with everyone you know, as I will. I just will not rest until the world hears that song. And so it is.
Oh, fantastic. Joy May, it's been such a pleasure meeting you. Thank you much for coming and being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. Like I said, this is beautiful.
Great. We really enjoyed doing it, and we hope that the audience is getting lots of things out of these conversations. That is our intention. Great. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for another Conversations in Consciousness with Lisa and Keith. So until next time, create for yourselves a beautiful week or two, because you can. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting You to You Radio. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Are you ready to discover more about how simple healing your body can actually be when you do it from the higher wisdom of your soul? To learn more about what I do and how you can work with me, visit connectingyoutoyou.com and get on my mailing list to be the first to know about my latest offerings. If you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, please join my group, Soul Sourced Healing. Check the show notes below for these links and more. I hope to see you again next time on Connecting You to You Radio.